Chapter 51. They didn't leave right away. It would be better, they agreed, at least to try to get permission to take a leave of absence. But after that night, all three soldiers continued to feel Genova's influence. Cloud was by far the worst off, to the point that he'd sometimes find himself sleepwalking, heading north, until he walked into a wall and woke up, anyway. Though the others had their own problems. Zack found himself losing time, as he had when Cloud had borrowed his body, and Sephiroth faced an insidious foe. He found himself more easily growing frustrated, angry, inclined to lash out at others. They did their best to spend time apart. Zack moved back into his own quarters, and Cloud bunked with Vincent. Chaos's presence had a wonderful way of disrupting Genova's siren song. All three reluctantly submitted to Matteson's testing, and the results indicated that their J-cells were rapidly growing more active and plentiful. At this rate, Zack muttered, we might as well just give up and burn down the building. Don't joke, Cloud replied, even softer, as he glanced at Sephiroth, who was showing those subtle signs of his irritation again. Zack sighed. All of Soldier was worried about the pair of them, as they hadn't been so standoffish with each other in years. Zack didn't honestly know what was worse. Those trying to give them suggestions on how to get back together, or those who were shoving Cloud at either Sephiroth or himself. Or both. The president refuses to listen. He says that Cloud destroyed Genova in Medil, and until he gets information conclusively proving otherwise, he's not sending us anywhere. He offered to send a soldier squad if we could provide him with a location. Sephiroth looked at the map in his office. But all we know is north. Probably on the northern continent, Zack mused. But more than that, who knows? Even if we did send a squad, we can't be sure they'd get back, Cloud pointed out. If Genova could take over Zack, who knows what else she could do? The vision of an alien life form playing puppet master with their fellow soldiers made all three suppress a shiver. How are things with Eris? Zack asked after a moment, turning to Cloud. His friend shrugged. As good as we can get. We think she can cast Great Gospel, but she doesn't want to do it for kicks. We aren't sure how powerful it'll be. Bringing, or sending, Miss Gainsborough on this mission is out of the question. Mr. Tuesti was quite clear about that. Sephiroth took a long drink of his coffee before picking up his pen, apparently ready to go back to his work. We think she can do it long distance. Getting her near Genova isn't something we want, either. Cloud took a deep breath. Reno has some gold chocobos at the ranch. There's six of them, already broken to saddle. They should be able to take us wherever we need to go, Zack nodded grimly. We can't just wait anymore. It's probably been too long as it is. Agreed. However, Sephiroth gazed at Cloud sternly. I don't think we should bring you with us. You're too unstable. And no sneaking off to meet us either. Cloud smiled, and Zack suppressed a shiver. All right. Have fun finding her. She's north. Yes, but that's all you have to work off of. Cloud's expression was stubborn. I'm more sensitive, and what's more, we resonate. She's infecting a Cetra body. I'm probably the closest thing we got to that. Zack gave him a look. What's that supposed to mean? It's a long story, but I haven't just been Aris's guinea pig. I've been learning a bit myself. And so you can't figure out how to take care of stuff from here. I've only been doing this for a couple months, Cloud reminded him. Maybe in a few years I'd be able to do it from here. But we don't have that kind of time. And no, Aris can't locate her either. As we get closer, I should be able to tell, though. I could in my deal, even though I wasn't sure what it was. And she could likely sense you in turn, Sephiroth pointed out. You could be leading us all into a trap. And if you're under her influence... I could be, Cloud spread his hands. But do we have much of a choice? Better to walk into a trap armed to the teeth and ready for it than to wait until we can't fight it anymore. He met Sephiroth's gaze without flinching, and in that moment Zack was prouder than he'd ever been of Cloud. He'd changed so much from the shy kid Zack had first taken under his wing. He was strong, confident, and willing to stand up for what he felt needed to be done. Can't argue with that, Zack grinned. Let's do this. Before dawn the next day, two motorcycles left the city, each carrying two passengers. Only Cloud had a PHS, a civilian one he'd bought for cash in the slums. While lacking some of the capabilities the military ones had, it would allow him to contact Iris when they needed to and hopefully avoid being tracked, at least for a little while. They made their way east to the ranch, making off with Blondie and three of her siblings. Cloud felt a bit bad about that, but left a note promising to pay Reno and Rude back once they returned with the birds. The gold chocobos were as good as legend claimed, trotting across the sea between the continents with astounding ease. On their second day on the northern continent, however, they encountered a rather strange problem. As they entered a forest, the members of their party would find themselves overcome with weariness until they awoke on the northern edge of a little archaeological settlement, no further than they had been hours previous. Finally, Sephiroth suggested they travel further east, skirting the mountains of the coast until they could approach the valley where that presence waited from a different angle. It's here, Cloud whispered. The silence over the city seemed sacrosanct. Speaking at all seemed wrong, as if they stood in a great tomb. Where? Cloud pointed, indicating the path. The pressure in his mind had grown ever since they reached the northern continent. But now that they had managed to circumvent the forest, it was a constant, unnerving feeling, like an unidentifiable background noise. Sephiroth and Zack were also showing signs of irritation, probably caused by it, though they didn't seem as uneasy as Cloud, who could also feel the life stream bubbling here, deep and raw and powerful, and so close to the surface it was almost as if he could taste it. I may not be able to hear it like Iris can, but when it's this intense, it's pretty hard to ignore. Pulling out his PHS, he sent her a quick message. She needed to be ready. The group tethered their mounts and headed down into the city, the eerily oppressive silence only growing more so as they continued on. Occasionally, a monster would appear, but other than that, nothing interrupted their pilgrimage. All the paths led to a shell-like building in the center of the city, where the only way forward was down a winding set of stairs. Cloud fought with himself every step of the way. Part of him wanted to run forward to join Genova, while the rest of him wanted to flee as far as he could from this disease that corrupted everything it touched. And suddenly, there they were, a horrible creature, like something out of a child's worst nightmare, floated in an altar-like space. A bloated, spherical thing with two tentacles. Genova's form did not resemble the one they had fought in Midil at all. Zack, Sephiroth, take the front, Cloud said quietly. Vincent, if you could provide them some backup, Iris and I'll get to work. Zack and Sephiroth nodded and moved forward, drawing their blades. Vincent stood close to Cloud, his position one that would allow him to provide covering gunfire while keeping an eye on Cloud at the same time. They had asked him to accompany them for this. If worse came to worst, at least someone unaffected by Genova's influence could try to take them down. Cloud knelt, his sword on the ground before him, not Shiranui, but a weapon he'd picked up on his travels. A single well-balanced blade, ignoring the battle. He closed his eyes and folded his hands over the hilt. He had to reach Iris and bring her here. Hopefully, the part of him that called itself Genova's son wouldn't escape his bonds before he returned. Iris jumped a bit when her PAJS rang. A short message showed on the screen, "Get ready." She immediately abandoned the flower bed she'd been working on, causing Tifa to watch her worriedly as she hurried from the garden. "What's up?" "There's something I have to do at the church." She lengthened her stride. It wouldn't be long before they began fighting, and she wanted to be in position before then. "Does this have to do with Cloud's mysterious disappearance?" Tifa asked quietly, as she matched Iris's pace. Receiving a sharp look in response, she shrugged. "Look, they may not be broadcasting it, but just about everyone knows Sephiroth and Zack are missing. Tseng wanted to know what happened, so he went looking for Vincent or Cloud. And they're both gone too." "There's something they have to take care of." Tifa gave her a curious look, but Iris, always careful about what she said around Turks, didn't elaborate further. Even though those new allegiances made Iris more reserved around Tifa, she could tell it had been good for her, at least socially. Tifa's partner, the taciturn Rude, was a fantastic match for her in combat, enough so that their sparring had started attracting spectators. And while Tifa might not enjoy all of her assignments, it was surely nice for her to have a peer group of women of a similar mindset. They didn't want to have children or settle down. They wanted adventure, and they wanted to push themselves to the limit. She had struggled some with the decision the last couple of months, it seemed. But honestly, it was clear Tifa had found her place. Once she'd rather firmly shown Reno his in relation to her. As they boarded the train, Iris silently recited what she had read in the Cetra manuscript Cloud had retrieved. "Fire and water are the elements of purification. Water can bring great relief and cleanse one who is tainted. Fire can burn out the taint more aggressively, though not without cost to both the caller and the one to whom she ministers. Only one of our people has successfully called Soulfire down to the crisis's spawn, and he returned to the planet soon after. We can only conclude, then, that water may be the best way to seal the calamity forever." Cloud had used Soulfire on the piece of Genova in Medeal. Iris had been sure of it the moment she had read its description, and its side effects. They couldn't know if Cloud would be able to do so again, or if it was really him who had done it at all. It was quite possible that the planet or the souls of the Cetra in the livestream might have worked through him. And even then Cloud had been badly wounded in the process. If he tried to replicate it in that offer fight, how much worse might the backlash be? Iris hoped that the Great Gospel spell would allow them to successfully seal Genova, giving them time to find another method to destroy her later. Inside the church, she settled herself into the flower bed, grasping her mother's materia tightly, more for comfort than anything else. Closing her eyes, Iris reached for the live stream. The babble of the voices surrounded her for both a moment and an eternity, all sense of time fading as she listened to their broken conversation. Their agitation was quite clear. They weren't happy about Genova's active state, or the fact that those most tainted by her touch were so close to her. "Iris," Cloud's mental voice, much stronger after practice, touched her mind. She took his spiritual hand and let herself be pulled towards him, leaving her body behind. She hoped Tifa wouldn't try to interrupt her. At best, she'd get no response. At worst, she might manage to pull Aris back to her body. Worry about that later. Focus. Cloud's words, similar to the ones he had used when training her years ago, snapped her attention back to the moment. In a few seconds, they had traveled the length of the continent and were flying into a silent city. I thought you couldn't see the world while you were like this. I can't. It must be your influence. Cloud drew Aris down, and she shuddered when she saw Genova's form, lashing out at the others. Focus, Cloud reminded her again before settling back into his body, his face twisting with pain. Aris's eyes widened in realization. He must be fighting the portion of his soul corrupted by Genova. So she did as Cloud requested, trying to settle her mind into the proper focus to cast the Great Gospel. It was hard. She wasn't used to doing this without the reassuring solidity of the earth around her, and the sounds of combat made it difficult to concentrate. Zack staggered to his feet as Sephiroth lopped off one of the tentacles, though not without taking a few wounds himself. Aris couldn't close her eyes to block out the carnage, but she could focus on the water behind Genova, lying placid in the basin below. With all her heart she prayed, Gaia, mother of all. Her prayers were answered. Sephiroth regarded the monster before him with icy rage. This creature had tried to turn him against his friends, had attempted to manipulate him into following it, had nearly taken Zack from him, and had tried to use Cloud to lure them into its power. No more. As if sensing his mood, a tentacle shot out, slapping at Zack, who managed to bring up the Buster Sword and deflect it. Sephiroth lunged, managing a shallow cut before it recoiled. Tough skin, very tough. Damn, things can't ever be easy, can they? Zack eyed the creature with distaste. Materia? If you think you can cast properly. Sephiroth didn't trust his own abilities at the moment. The insidious voice that had called to him constantly since they had stepped within the city hampered his concentration, and he didn't want to bring the building down on their heads with a miscast spell. Zack shook his head. Apparently he was having the same problem. I guess we're back to the old standby then. Valentine's gun sounded. The bullets ricocheted off the creature's carapace. Sephiroth raised an eyebrow, impressed in spite of himself. Zack lunged forward, trying to slice off one of the thick tentacles, but for all his trouble, barely managed to break the skin. Seph, I think we've got a problem. I'll try to open up wounds. You work on making them worse. Sephiroth was as good as his word, using his speed to close the distance between him and his target. The tentacles moved with such speed, however, that he only managed to graze one of them. Zack focused on attacking there, while Sephiroth reversed his momentum and came at Genova from another angle. This time he managed a decent hit, a wound at least 3 or 4 inches deep. A bullet from Valentine's gun blew past him, hitting the creature dead on. Damn, these things are annoying, Zack huffed, as he tried with little success to widen the cut Sephiroth had made. Ugh, you know what? Let's go for broke. He launched himself into the air, raising the Buster Sword above his head, ready to plunge it into Genova's main body. Only to catch a tentacle to the chest, slamming into a wall with a sickening crunch. Sephiroth felt as if time slowed to a crawl at the sound, and regardless of all of his training, looked apprehensively over his shoulder at the man who had become his partner in all things. For an unbearably long moment Zack was still, and then he managed to twitch, just a bit. Valentine was already raising his arm, a green materia, whether it was a restorer alive he couldn't tell, flaring with power in his bracer. The relief that came over Sephiroth as he realized that Zack wasn't gone yet gave way to a towering anger that scored Genova's cajoling from his mind. How dare this thing try to take from him, the first person who had accepted him unconditionally? He contemptuously battled the tentacle that had reached for him, while he was distracted out of the way, and with cool precision swung the Masamune at the cut that Vincent had enlarged with his shots. The sharp blade managed to cut through the limb entirely this time, and the other tentacle whipped toward him in response. Sephiroth dodged the mindless attack, ignoring whatever it struck behind him. All his being was focused on one truth. This creature was going to die. Betrayer, do not court that worm in you are worth far more than he. He's worth a thousand of you, Sephiroth snarled, and whirled to slice at Genova's remaining tentacle. Another shallow cut, though this time his foe seemed to understand the vulnerability and managed to move away faster. Suddenly, it began to rain. For a moment everyone froze, stunned. How could it rain indoors and underground? And then Sephiroth saw the water glowing behind the altar, bursting into mist and gently drizzling down over them. Everything it touched seemed to be somehow more. Sephiroth was reminded of Wutai, a mission which had had them out in the field for weeks, barely managing to eke out an existence on the meager leavings of the battered island. When they finally had returned to civilization, the simple act of taking a shower seemed to clear so much more than grime away, revitalizing them and making them feel human again. This rain was like that, only better. Genova screamed at the touch of the water. It burned her flesh, hissing as it turned into steam. Behind him, Sephiroth heard someone rising to his feet. Zack, who spoke in an awed whisper, "Well, I'll be damned." Sephiroth felt the beginnings of a smile, and didn't even try to stop it as Zack moved to stand where he belonged at his side. Sizing Genova up again, he realized abruptly that he could think clearly. Whatever the rain had done was muting her voice as well. "Let's finish this," Zack grinned at him. "Sounds good to me." Cloud settled back into his body. He had intended to join Zack and Sephiroth in fighting Genova. They looked like they could use the help, but found his unwelcome partner nearly free of the bonds Saris had woven around him. "I can't believe this. We spent weeks on those." With a shake of his head, Cloud pulled up a mindscape of the gym he and Sephiroth had sparred in a few weeks ago, and materialized Shirano in his hands. "Hey." His double turned and glared at him with cat-slit green eyes. "Traitor, you have brought the enemy with you. She will not seal Mother." Cloud wasn't really in the mood for talking. He rapidly closed the distance between them, but his doppelganger summoned a blade of his own, blocking his thrust. They clashed again, and Genova's puppet jumped backwards. Cloud followed him. He couldn't let him get free or else he'd turn against the others. Pain broke Cloud's concentration. The settings he had crafted vanished. He felt dizzy, his head aching strangely. Taking advantage of his disorientation, his double cried silently to the creature before them. "Mother, they have brought the enemy. Run! Do not let them seal you away. I will fight. Go!" And Genova's presence began to fade. while the creature before them was still real, some fraction of its consciousness was vanishing, departing for a different vessel. Cloud looked around, fighting to ignore the pain of his head wound as his mind raced. Where was she going? Zack? Sephiroth? Surely not Vincent. Then the rain began to fall. It was like taking the first breath of fresh air after leaving the city. Cloud suddenly felt alert and calm, his wounds healing before his eyes. Genova's presence diminished, but for a different reason. And the puppet in his mind wailed in agony as the rain continued to fall. Cloud breathed a sigh of relief as he turned his focus to the creature before them. Iris had managed to cast the Great Gospel. Would it be enough? Revitalized by the rain, Sephiroth renewed his attacks, Zack at his side. Death penalty sang out as Vincent targeted the areas made vulnerable by their blades. For a moment, Cloud felt a wave of hope rise in his chest. They could win this battle. They wouldn't even need his help. Then he felt the shift. Even as Sephiroth continued with his relentless strikes, Genova began to gather power. The spell felt unlike anything Cloud had ever seen cast, but he knew it was something big, as did Sephiroth, who shouted a warning to Zack. "You'll never stop her. Even if you kill this piece of her, enough has escaped. We'll heal and we'll crush you like the traitors you are," his doppelganger snarled, bringing up Cloud's mindscape again and shoving him down. Cloud fought, managing to put a knife through the puppet's shoulder, but he already knew it wasn't enough. The puppet was right. Genova would escape, and then they would have to do this again, or she would go into hiding, waiting centuries if necessary, regaining strength, and biding her time until there was no one who could stop her. No. Cloud stopped fighting. Genova's puppet continued to hammer him into the wall of their mind, but he did his best to ignore it. Instead, he reached out with his mind, seeking first to touch the life stream, then following it deeper. "No, Cloud, don't." He ignored Iris's cries and continued down, reaching for the well of power that sank beneath the flow of the departed. All souls came from here, the heart of the planet. While they returned to their life stream after death, this was their true home. Here was kindled the spark of life in every living creature. And with enough focus, one could call this fire into the corporeal plane. This was the power of the weapons that slept in the north, the power of the summoned spirits waiting beyond the edge of mortal consciousness. Cloud had never purposefully done this before. Only once had he wielded this power, and for something with far greater knowledge and experience working through him, using him as a passive conduit. If it hadn't been for Iris's intervention back then, his mind would have been burned out completely. "I can't let her get away." What part of his will wasn't focused on seeking the power of the planet reached out and grabbed his counterpart's shirt roughly. One way or another, the puppet wouldn't be coming out of this intact. Iris was still frantically pleading with him to reconsider. "I'm sorry," he told her as he released his hold on her spirit. Even if he hadn't been sending her away for her safety, he couldn't have spared the willpower to keep her here. White hot fire raced down his blade, and his eyes snapped open as he rose to his feet. The space between him and his enemy vanished in a few steps as he raised his sword high and brought it down, faster than the eye could follow. He raised the blade and struck again, over and over, the movements so quick it was almost as if they were a single perfect strike. The Omni Slash. Cloud only regretted he wouldn't get a chance to teach it to Zack. Genova's scream stung ears and mind alike, as the flaming blade sliced into her, burning through her defenses and consuming the soft flesh beneath. Zack dropped to the ground cursing, his hands over his ears, and Sephiroth looked as if he wished to do the same. Cloud couldn't see Vincent, but he could sense Chaos's approval. The bitch was going to die. Even as the vessel before them righted and burned under his attack, Cloud could sense the power reach further. It continued to burn through his arms and hands, down his blade and into Genova, a white comet of power that vanished from the material plane to re-enter the spiritual one. Her puppet, his own corrupted mind, vanished under the onslaught. Cloud felt his control waver, but stubbornly held on. They weren't done yet. Genova had sought to hide her spirit in other vessels, but Soulfire was not limited by physical constraints. And she had really ticked off the planet, which was more than happy to give Cloud the power he needed to destroy her for good. The crisis's screams tripled as far away the white-hot flame engulfed two other vessels. Cloud could barely make his eyes stay open, but forced the power through himself until the last of her cries died, and abruptly the Soulfire let him go. His sword, twisted into unrecognizable dross by the heat, dropped to the floor with a clang, and Cloud wasn't far behind. Valentine moved almost faster than Sephiroth could follow, catching Cloud's badly burned body as he fell. Carefully carrying him over to the basin's edge, he scooped up some of the water and poured it into Cloud's mouth. "You should drink as well," he instructed. "It will help purify you of any remaining traces of Genova." Zack hurried to do so, not bothering to use his hands but just lowering his head to the water, taking huge gulps. Sephiroth, for his part, took a few restrained sips. The water was amazingly cold and pure, as if from a mountain spring. It certainly didn't taste like it had been sitting still and undisturbed for years or possibly centuries. "Is Cloud okay?" Zack asked, looking concerned as he touched his friend's forehead. "He feels hot." "Put him in the water," Sephiroth suggested. "Maybe it'll heal him." He refused to accept the possibility that he might already be too far gone for that. They stripped him down and lowered him into the basin, but despite the cold, Cloud didn't wake. After a few uncomfortably long minutes, Sephiroth looked at Valentine. "What's wrong with him?" The Turk shook his head. "I'm not sure. Chaos says..." He drew upon the power of the planet in a form that may have destroyed his mind. "What?" Zack looked outraged. "What the hell was he thinking?" Valentine was silent for a moment, his head cocked as if listening to a voice they could not hear. Apparently Genova had two more hosts in addition to this one. The power he used managed to kill them both. And if he hadn't, she would have waited until she had recovered and could strike again, Sephiroth summarized, remembering Gast's notes on how well-preserved Genova had been, even after centuries underground. "But," Zack cursed, "Cloud shouldn't have sacrificed himself to kill that bitch." The looks on his companions' faces showed their complete agreement. "So now what?" "Now we wait," Vincent said gravely, settling himself in a position to do so. Zack opened his mouth, no doubt to protest. Sephiroth, already moving to sit, shook his head. With a sigh, Zack followed suit, and from the hunch of his shoulders, Sephiroth could tell he was trying not to be unnerved by how Vincent watched Cloud's body intently, his eyes seeming almost to glow like coals in a fire. Time crawled by. The light drizzle that was all that remained of that healing rain, tapered off and finally ceased altogether. And still Cloud didn't move. They didn't speak. None of them wanted to give voice to the possibility that he wouldn't awaken. When Sephiroth had reached the point that even he was fighting the urge to pace, he broke the silence. His lips are turning blue. We have to take him out of the water. But the water is supposed to be helping him, right? Zack jumped up for at least a dozenth time. I don't know if we should... I'd prefer to take the route that we know won't inflict hypothermia on him, Sephiroth said brusquely, and rose. I think we've put him in enough danger today as it is. Sorry, came a weak voice, barely more than a whisper. Cloud! Tired blue eyes looked up at them. Why am I wet? Zack hauled him out of the water. We thought it'll help you heal. I mean, hey, no more burns, right? It's great, but I'm freezing. Cloud shivered. Too bad you ditched your cloak, Vincent. I could use a towel. I doubt anything here is still usable. And we left the bedrolls outside. I'm sorry. Sephiroth handed Cloud his clothes. He grimaced before stiffly pulling them on, not even bothering to wait to dry. Call Aeris, he told Zack, nodding at his PHS. I lost my hold on her. Zack nodded and dialed her number. Aeris? Zack, oh thank Gaia, is Cloud all right? I lost him. She sounded near frantic. He's okay. A bit wet, but all right other than that. Zack grinned at his friend. Ah, sorry about that. I think it's part of the Great Gospel. Either way, Ar, that was pretty damn impressive. We couldn't have won that fight without your help. And all the way from Midgar, no less. Thank Cloud. He's the one who got me there. Varys's voice turned scolding. And tell him if he worries me like that again, he'll find his pillows restuffed with nettles. Zack chuckled, and dutifully repeated her threat. Cloud just shook his head, but he was smiling. Anyway, you should come back soon. You've been missed. And I think the President is about ready to send someone after you. Will do, Zack hung up. We better go. Sounds like Shinra is not happy. Right. Cloud unsteadily got to his feet, only to be swept into Valentine's arms. Damn it, Vincent, I'm not six anymore. You've had a very trying experience, and it's important you don't relapse, the Turk calmly justified. You should take the time to recover. I'm fine. Aris's power works miracles. Sephiroth gave him a significant look. He had the feeling working miracles was a rather apt description of what had happened. And Cloud glared defiantly back. Sephiroth's lips quirked. He had all of Zack's stubbornness and more, it seemed. Somehow he had forgotten that in Cloud's time away. Well, then, only until we reach the chocobos. They left the silent city quickly. Cloud looked around as they passed the pale shell-like buildings. You know, maybe we should tell someone about this place. It seems to be pretty well preserved. I think we'd best leave the ancients' secrets to themselves, Valentine put in. This place is beautiful, and remarkably well preserved. I somehow doubt Shinra, or anyone else for that matter, would keep it like this. You're probably right. I just feel like we could learn so much about them from what's here. I know Iris wants to know more about her people. Come back up and look around yourself sometime in the future, Zack suggested. It isn't going anywhere. Good idea. And if that water holds its power, we should probably get some more of it. Sephiroth tilted his head questioningly, and Cloud elaborated. Every soldier had Genova cells. It would be best to give everyone some just in case, right? Probably, he agreed. They walked a bit longer in silence, each alone with his thoughts, until Zack spoke up again. What did you do in there anyway? That fire glowing thing? Cloud frowned, thinking. I'm not really sure how to describe it. It's all pretty blurry, actually. I can't remember it clearly. But I used the power of the planet somehow, and I know Genova's dead. The certainty in his voice was comforting, but Sephiroth wondered how much Cloud really remembered, and how much he didn't want to tell Zack, who never let the complexity of a technique stop him from trying to learn it. With those kind of side effects, though, Sephiroth thought it was probably for the better. Now we can all go back to work in peace. Peace? Zack snorted. Yeah, right. We've got another batch of soldier exams coming up, and I need to work on another set of partnerships. Poor baby, defeated by paperwork, Cloud teased. I'm sure we can find you some help. Zack gave him a half-hearted glare. And I don't suppose you can teach me the Omnislash either, unless I'm mistaken, and that's not what that was. Cloud shook his head. No, it was, and I can. I figured it out before we left Midgar. So why didn't you show me? I think I remember something about avoiding each other so the crazy alien bitch doesn't hijack our minds, Cloud replied. But I can show you now. You better, or I'm gonna dump all the soldier applicant paperwork on you, Zack threatened. Sephiroth felt his lips twitch in amusement. He would think of paperwork as punishment. Finally, they reached the spot they had tethered their mounts. All four took the opportunity to change and prepare a short meal. As they saddled up, Zack frowned. You know, there's one thing about this that kind of bothers me. What's that? Sephiroth asked as he watched Cloud swing into the saddle. He looked like he was doing okay, but Sephiroth made a mental note to watch him. Cloud was the type who would overextend himself rather than confess any weakness. I never got to kill anything that really mattered. Two pairs of eyes looked at him. Valentine just ignored them and finished saddling his bird, which rolled its eyes and shifted from foot to foot nervously for a moment before settling down with a resigned queer. I mean, you got to kill that Hojo clone, Seph, and Valentine got to kill the real thing. Here Valentine looked rather pleased with himself, for which Sephiroth frankly couldn't blame him. And Cloud got to kill the alien bitch. All I've gotten to kill is a bunch of random monsters, and sometimes a dragon. And mosquitoes, Sephiroth deadpanned. Zack stared at him. Cloud laughed outright. In that case, how about we let you kill anything that pops up between here and Midgar? Very funny, Cloud. Zack nudged his mount forward. Race you home. Chapter 52. When they reached the southern coast, they found a surprise waiting for them. Sid, Cloud blinked in surprise. What are you doing here? Prez wants you four back in Midgar pronto. I think he's pissed. He took a long drag on his cigarette. Let's go. The high winds got a stall for the birds. I've been told if I don't bring him back with you, I'll have trouble from a Turk. Zack chuckled. Turk trouble was a terrifying warning for most, but Sid looked merely irritated. Well, we'd better hurry then. Yo, kid, Sid flicked his finger at Cloud. Make sure you come around sometime, all right? You never visited once you woke up, and I said I'd teach you how to fly. I already know how to fly, Cloud said, and laughed as Sid rolled his eyes. But yeah, I'll drop by. Sorry about not visiting sooner. Things have been a bit crazy. The trip was surprisingly fast on the high wind. Zack tried not to fidget, though he ended up pacing nervously. Cloud, on the other hand, seemed perfectly at ease, wandering around the ship and asking questions whenever he wasn't checking on the birds. How can you be so calm? Zack finally snapped. While he didn't regret doing what needed to be done, He was nervous about facing up to it. The saying might have gone, better to ask forgiveness than permission. But Shinra was stingy with both. And the president could make their lives pretty miserable without lifting a finger against them. Don't you remember? Unlike the rest of you, I'm currently unemployed. Cloud grinned as Zack's eyes widened. They can't do anything to me without putting me out of commission permanently. And I've heard it from the president's own mouth he wants me back. They'll probably just shove the re-enlistment forms in my face the moment we land. Zack gave him a dirty look. Not fair. Cloud shrugged. I didn't re-enlist when I realized we would need to take care of Genova. He paused. And some other things. Unwilling to let Cloud slip into a pensive mode, a leftover from dealing with Sephiroth all these years, Zack threw his arm around Cloud. So then, we'll get you signed up again the minute we're back. Hey, you know they promoted you to first, right? No. Cloud looked surprised. That was for dying, wasn't it? They won't keep it. Zack rolled his eyes. Cloud, you just managed to obliterate a nasty that's been preying on the planet for who knows how long. You can fight Sephiroth to a standstill, especially if you've got access to materia. If anyone deserves to be a first, it's you. Cloud smiled. Maybe. Look lively, boys, Sid announced over the PA system. Shinra Tower, dead ahead. 15 minutes later, Zack snapped off a sharp salute, Sephiroth doing the same beside him. Vincent, for his part, merely nodded. Rufus Shinra did not ask them to sit. Running off without permission, stealing valuable property, endangering company personnel. Do you three have anything to say for yourselves? No, sir, Sephiroth replied calmly. Zack had wanted to protest that they had reason to do what they had done, but Sephiroth and Vincent had overruled him. If Shinra wanted their reasons, he'd ask for them. Rufus slowly looked each of them in the eye. Zack fought the urge to fidget under that level gaze. I should demote you all and make you go through basic training again with the green recruits, since you clearly need to be reminded of basic protocols. But that would be pointless, and we all know it. So, this incident will be noted in your permanent records, and you will be put on probationary pay with reduced benefits for at least the next 6 months. You will be assigned extra duty hours, and your access to company transportation is, effective immediately, suspended for the duration of your probation. Do not think you'll be getting off lightly for this. No, sir, Sephiroth repeated. Before you go, one more thing. Rufus laid out 2 photos on his desk so they could see them. One showed a fire-ravaged vacation home. The other captured some sort of melted equipment. Fires broke out in both the company villa at Costa del Sol and the underwater reactor at Junon. Forensics indicate an extremely hot flame consumed something organic in nature at both locations. There is no sign of the origin of the fire, but our tests tell us it was similar to a fire spell, albeit much more powerful. Genova? Zack wondered aloud, and snapped his mouth shut as Shinra's gaze settled on him. The one in Junon, he continued, as if he hadn't been interrupted, was close to a critical junction that fed into the city's water supply, though the pipes in that area show signs of damage. Thus far it seems that no contaminants actually entered the system. As far as the villa, Lady Kisaragi and I were supposed to honeymoon there. She had been getting ready to infect more people, Zack realized. Though this time he managed to keep his revelation to himself. She might have been able to spread via the water supply in Junon, and the villa, if she had managed to get the most powerful man on the planet and his wife under her thumb. It would have been a nightmare. She could have spread more rapidly than ever before, disguised as a vaccination of some sort. That was when Zack realized that Shinra had figured out, somehow, that what they had done was absolutely necessary. That their running off had put an end to things before it was too late. And they were still going to be punished for it. Zack clenched his teeth, and tried to stop his fists from doing likewise. Stupid bastard and his goddamn keeping it up for appearances bullshit. But it had needed to be done. If they had waited, Sephiroth or Cloud, or even Zack himself, might have succumbed to Genova's calls. Or maybe Genova might have succeeded in infecting the people of Junon. It sucked that they were being punished for doing the right thing, but he wasn't going to regret it. Shinra, ignoring Zack's not-so-subtle anger, handed Sephiroth a folder. Make sure to give this to Strife when you see him. Dismissed. Zack managed to wait until they were in the elevator, before he began to curse the president and all of his ancestors. I can't believe it. He knows we did what we had to. He had proof. And yet he's still punishing us. It's just not fair. Life's not fair, Sephiroth said bluntly. We violated the regulations. He has to punish us for it. Or else set an example of leniency that might encourage others to follow suit for things they personally deem life-threatening. He laid a hand on Zack's shoulder. Don't take it personally. It still sucks, Zack sighed, but tried to let it go, changing the subject. What was that he gave you, anyway? Sephiroth opened the folder and smiled. Cloud's re-enlistment forms already filled out. All he needs to do is sign them. Well, you didn't do half bad by them, I'll give you that. Reno grudgingly allowed as he finished checking over the four birds they had borrowed. We did try to keep them well fed, and they certainly got enough exercise. Cloud tried not to fidget guiltily. He really wasn't comfortable with stealing, especially from someone who he had a weird, not-quite-friends working partnership with. Even if it had been necessary at the time. They're probably in better shape now than when they left, Reno admitted. Sure you don't want to be a jockey? No, thanks, Cloud replied. I got plans. Gonna re-enlist, huh? Good. You can help keep Sephiroth in line. Guy's enough to drive anyone crazy. I'll never understand how Zack can handle him day after day. Reno dusted off his hands. Where's the fifth? Fifth? Cloud echoed, looking at him blankly. Damn, Reno sighed. I was hoping it was you. Five birds went missing around the same time. And her ladyship, little Miss Sticky Fingers, is missing too. He muttered a curse. First my materia, now one of my birds. You haven't seen her, have you? No, but that doesn't mean anything. I hear she's a pretty good ninja, so I might not have noticed her even if she was there same time we were. And to be fair, he had been a bit distracted at the time, worrying about space viruses and purification spells and stuff. Even with that legendary soldier sight, Reno snorted, leaving the airship's small stable with Cloud at his heels. Guess it ain't all it's cracked up to be. I hear that wall on the 38th floor's getting lonely again, Cloud said archly. You want me to help you get reacquainted with it? Reno shook his head. Please, that's some sort of Nibelheim greeting or something. Cloud blinked. Not to my knowledge. Why? Tifa did the same damn thing. Cloud snickered and won a dirty look for it. I'm sure she did it with only the best intentions. Figure she'd side with her, Reno sighed. Tseng partnered her with Rude. Would you believe it? It wasn't even his turn for a trainee. Somehow I think he'll manage to survive the injustice. They reached a junction, and while Reno headed to the bridge, probably to wheedle his way into free transportation for the birds to either the ranch or the saucer. Cloud headed for the exit. He figured the others would have been out of Shinra's office by now, and he'd have some paperwork to fill out. Cloud walked into one of the soldier lounges to a burst of applause. "All right, looking good," Paul said with a smile. Cloud smiled crookedly and tugged on his new uniform, dark purple, as befitting a soldier first class. It wasn't all that different from his old second uniform, but it still felt strange, probably because he hadn't worn one in almost 4 years. Scott slapped him on the back. "It's about time. Welcome back." "It's good to be back," Cloud grinned at his friends. Zack had insisted on throwing this party once he'd signed the papers yesterday. He'd wanted to do it immediately, but Cloud had put his foot down for postponing it at least until the next day. Zack, realizing it'd probably take that long for him to get his new uniforms, had capitulated. Cloud had taken the time to pick out a set of quarters, not far from either Sephiroth's or Zack's, and move all of his few belongings, as well as get some sleep. He was still worn out from using the soul fire. Finally, he'd made one brave trip into the science wing, where, at his request, Matheson had performed a single test. The results had apparently been remarkable. The J-cells, changed in such a way that they were still active, but no longer working in the distinctive patterns that marked them as Genovas. Matheson hypothesized that the cells were somehow becoming uniquely attuned to Cloud, and had started going about getting Zack and Sephiroth in for tests. Cloud hadn't had the heart to enlighten him on how difficult that would be. He knew Matheson meant well, and wasn't likely to use samples from them in experiments on others, unlike his predecessor. But, honestly, after his ordeal, he was probably always going to be on guard around scientists. They all would. Aside from that, though, Cloud had been concerned about the upcoming group of soldier cadets. He remembered going through the process, and recalled the hopes and dreams that every cadet had. With Genova gone, would the enhancements still even be possible? Thankfully, Matheson had been able to reassure him on that matter. While no portion of active Genova cells had managed to survive her wholesale destruction, it seemed the genetically reassembled pieces used in soldier adaptations hadn't been physically connected to the main body, as Shinra's supply was untouched. They would have to run tests to see what would change, in current soldiers and new. And there would never be another Sephiroth, Zack, or Cloud. But for now, Soldier would remain viable. Thanking them again, Cloud left Scott and Paul to wander the room. A number of other soldiers greeted him warmly, especially former mission partners and commanders. Joran, his last roommate, handed him a beer. "So, finally got back to work, huh?" he teased. Cloud smiled. He had hardly been goofing off, even if almost no one knew so. "Something like that. Good to see you. Things work out with your new roommate." "Yeah, Mark's great. Tried for first, but didn't make the cut either, so we're going to be bunking together for a while. May even try that partner program of Zack's." Joran took a sip of his own drink. "Things being what they are, though, a bunch of us are thinking we need a zero class, with a new uniform, maybe black leather." Cloud blinked. Why? "Because you and Zack are miles beyond the rest of the firsts, that's why. I caught one of your fights with Sephiroth. It was amazing, considering you weren't even using materia." Joran elbowed him. "Besides, I bet Zack would like you in leather." Cloud blushed scarlet, much to his embarrassment. "It's not..." Grinning, Joran amicably punched him in the shoulder. "Sure, whatever you say. Anyway, think about it. I'll see you around. Enjoy the party." Cloud watched him leave, feeling strangely unsettled. He knew that he and Zack were more like Sephiroth now because of Jenova's influence. But he hadn't realized the others had picked up on that difference as well. What Joran had said was clearly meant to be a compliment, but it left him feeling more than a little lonely. Spotting two figures whose eyes didn't glow, he shook himself out of his funk and approached them. "Hey, I thought this was a soldier-only party." "Yeah, well, we thought we'd visit and check on you," Arthur shook his hand firmly. "You look great." "Thanks to the both of you." Cloud gave Morgan a careful hug. "You guys kept me together long enough to let my mind wander back." "Even if you did go running off on a mission before we cleared you." Morgan shook her finger in a shaming motion, though she was clearly joking. "Not an official one. That's why I'm not in trouble," Cloud smirked, and Morgan hit him on the shoulder. "Hey, shouldn't you be a little more careful?" She flushed, one hand moving to rest lightly over her stomach. "I can't believe you can tell already. That's so unfair." Arthur wrapped an arm around her shoulders, looking proud enough to burst. "Better sight than most, remember?" Cloud smiled at them. He didn't mention how he'd felt something different about Morgan the moment he'd touched her. Like he'd just known, somehow. "Congratulations." "You're the first to know," Arthur told him. "Maybe we'll name him, or her, Cloud. It's the least we could do. After all, if it weren't for you, we probably would never have met." "For the love of Odin, don't name your kid after me. They'll be teased forever," Cloud laughed. "You have no idea what I went through as a kid because of it." "I don't know," Morgan smiled. "I have the feeling you'll be pretty famous by the time he or she is in school. The name might see a surge in popularity even." Cloud shook his head. "Who'd want to name a kid after me?" Arthur's smile matched his wife's now. "You'd be surprised." Iris had wanted to speak to Cloud the minute she learned he'd survived using the soul fire. Unfortunately, one thing after another delayed their conversation. First, Cloud had to both recover from his exertions and return to Midgar. After that, he re-enlisted, and while they'd had the chance to briefly speak at his party, it hadn't offered much privacy, and Iris had no intention of discussing her heritage with strangers in the room. Then the soldier exams had struck, and while Cloud didn't have extra duty sessions like his comrades, he often stayed late with them in Sephiroth's office or studied recruits in Zack's place, since Zack apparently still had to work on his soldier partnership program, even while the exams progressed. Iris didn't know if Zack had begged for help, or if Cloud had just opted in of his own will, but the result was the same either way. He was tied up with work from early in the morning until late into the night. Yesterday, however, the exams had finally ended. All of the newly confirmed soldiers had a day of rest before beginning training and their adaptation schedules. Once Cloud had called Iris to let her know, she had promptly planned a picnic. The little park she had chosen was one of the older ones below the plate. Much of the metal had been removed from above, allowing the sun to stream onto the plant's leaves. It wasn't a large garden, but it was lovely, and had much more of a cozy feeling than the ones close to Shinra Tower, which were formal and perfectly groomed, and plastered all over the project's publicity photos. Also, it was close to her mother's house, so she had been able to visit before setting everything up. Reeve took out the sandwiches with a smile, and leaned over to kiss her lightly before setting a plate of homemade cookies on the blanket beside them. Ketchy was pouring lemonade and iced tea with surprising grace as Iris laid out the main courses. She knew soldier appetites well, after all. "Miss Iris?" She looked up from the picnic blanket to meet Marlene Wallace's gaze. 8 years old already, she looked more grown up each time Iris saw her. "Yes," she said with a smile. "I need some pictures of plants for a project at school. Do you mind?" Marlene held up her camera. Not at all. Take your time. Iris watched as Barrett guided Marlene over to the other side of the garden, where she began taking careful pictures. She wondered why Barrett had chosen to bring his daughter to a garden below the plate, when the lighting would be much better above for pictures, and then remembered that they had lived down here for quite some time. Barrett undoubtedly had friends down here. Maybe Shinra finally trusted him enough to let him visit them. A shifting behind her warned Iris of another person entering the garden. Tifa had spotted someone who might be a threat. From his place on the blanket, Nanaki lifted his head. It's just me. Cloud, it's good to see you. Iris rose and moved to greet him with a hug, which Cloud returned before shaking Reeve's hand and giving Nanaki and Tifa a smile. Tifa had been rather ticked at both him and Iris for pulling off what they had without telling her. But the match she'd challenged Cloud to when he'd gotten back seemed to have cleared the air between them, even if she had lost. Personally, Iris was glad that Tifa hadn't gone on the mission. As a probationary Turk, she had considerably less company influence than any of the rest of them, and her punishment surely would have been harsh. It looks amazing, Iris. I'm absolutely starved for real food. Cloud took a seat on the blanket. Iris handed him a plate and 3 sandwiches. The food up there really that bad? Not really. Soldiers get better rations than the regular infantry, but still, it's nothing like homemade. He took a bite of a sandwich and accepted a glass of lemonade from Ketchi. Who's this? One of my inventions, Ketchi, Reeve explained, as he began to pile food on his own plate. The little cat, for its part, bowed in greeting. He helps me out with the little things from time to time. Cloud grinned. Tseng really does have competition, he turned to Iris. So, what did you want to talk about? The soul fire. You managed to use it successfully. If you could teach me, maybe... Iris trailed off, seeing Cloud's serious expression. Look, I know you want to learn, but I can't do it anymore. I can't spirit walk at all. I'm not sure if all that power deadened my senses, or you fixed whatever Hojo broke in the first place with great gospel, but... He shook his head. Iris felt her heart sink. All her life she had wanted to find someone else like her. She had thought she'd found it in Cloud, but now it was gone. You can't do anything. I can still feel the life stream a little, when I'm close to it like this. It could probably get my attention if it needed to. And I can sense little things about people when I touch them. Like if they're getting sick, or are injured somehow, or are pregnant. Other than that, I don't think so, Cloud shrugged. Iris fought to hide her disappointment. She had been able to tell about injuries and illness as a child, though she had to wonder who Cloud had been around to be able to sense pregnancy. She hadn't actually done it herself. Most of her co-workers either took steps to avoid it or were past childbearing age. Maybe you'll get better if you practice. We can try, he agreed. If nothing else, it'll get you ready to teach your own children. She blushed prettily, and Cloud grinned. Have you two picked a date? July 13th, Reeve said. The president's wedding is supposed to be in the beginning of June, so that should give us enough of a break to get everything set up. Speaking of which, you might be interested to know that Miss Kisaragi finally showed up again this morning. Rufus is beside himself. He gave her a lecture about running off and abusing his trust. But all she'd say is that she was doing what was necessary for company profits. I think Rufus might have underestimated what he'd gotten himself into. Apparently, she found a summon called Knights of the Round. Nanaki looked impressed. An ancient spirit, very powerful. It's mentioned in some of my grandfather's books. And how have you been anyway? Cloud asked. It's been quite a while since we've talked. Nanaki inclined his head. Very well, thank you. We've got solar panels in Cosmo Canyon now to supplement the wind turbines. And it's been quite a help. Mr. Tuesti and Iris are a joy to work with. He grinned a toothy feline grin. I look forward to attending their wedding. You and me both. Cloud snatched another sandwich and three cookies to follow it, and Iris smiled. All else aside, it was good to have him back. Cloud smiled as he left the garden. Lunch had been absolutely wonderful. Iris's cooking was as good as ever, and the company had been delightful. It was too bad that Tifa had to leave early, but as a probationary Turk she still had training to do on top of her duties. He hadn't known Ri well before his time away, but it had been a pleasure to get better acquainted. The man was articulate and sharp as a tack. He wondered if he could convince him to play chess with Sephiroth. He had a feeling they'd both enjoy it. Cloud slowed and turned off the path leading topside to the soldier barracks to wander elsewhere. Officially, he should return to await orders, but he had been in a strange state of limbo since their return from destroying Genova. Neither on medical leave nor on active duty. He supposed Sephiroth and Zack still had to figure out somewhere to put him. After everything he'd been through, he wasn't exactly a regular soldier, so they might, hopefully, want something more challenging than monster-killing missions. He just wished they'd come to a decision soon. Hanging around Midgar doing nothing for another few months would drive him insane. Sensing a familiar presence, Cloud paused, looking around. His feet had led him to one of the seedier, less well-populated areas below the plate. Just the sort of place. Chaos. Your senses can't be entirely deadened for me to be this apparent to you, boy. The voice's amusement was clear in his mind. We are putting the younglings through their paces. Cloud took a moment to process that before it dawned on him. Vincent was working with the probationary Turks. Would I be in the way? No. Besides, a teacher should keep track of the fruits of his labor. Puzzling over that tidbit, Cloud let his instincts guide him until he spotted Vincent. Crossing the remaining distance between them, he spoke. Hey, busy? Vincent inclined his head in welcome. Observing, the teams are competing in a capture exercise. Cloud's eyes scanned the scene, noting Turk trainees running around the complex, ducking for cover. His eyes widened when he realized they were using real weapons and materia. Are you trying to kill them? Cloud asked, his heart skipping a beat as he noted a familiar figure. Tifa was on the field. That must have been what Chaos was referencing. This will be the least of their worries if they manage to survive. Cloud shifted on his feet. He wished he had his restore on him, just in case. He would never forgive himself if Tifa got killed because he couldn't save her in time. Remember that. He feels much the same every time you go to fight. The soldiers started, looking at Vincent in surprise. He never thought Vincent would worry. He certainly didn't show it. The Turk raised an eyebrow in silent inquiry. Something Chaos said. For a moment, there was only the sounds of battle as one team continued to disable the members of the other. Cloud winced as Tifa was frozen by a stop spell, though he was pleased to see she managed to knock out two members of the opposition before she was hit by it. Finally, Vincent spoke again. You shouldn't deal with him so carelessly. I owe him, Cloud shrugged. He never would have made it on the mission to kill Hojo if it hadn't been for Chaos. Even if the killing blow hadn't been his, it had been his first encounter with Soulfire, which had saved them all in the end. Besides, he's an interesting conversationalist. Completely amoral by human standards. But as Chaos would have reminded him, why should such standards apply to a non-human? The spirit chuckled approvingly in Cloud's mind at that, as his host said. He may have another goal in mind. Everyone always does. You taught me that, remember? Cloud winced, realizing how bad that sounded. I mean, not that you necessarily do, but... I know what you mean, Vincent gestured for him to stay put, then moved forward to address his students, whose capturing team had successfully completed their mission. Cloud watched him go over each trainee's performance, criticizing mistakes and recognizing strengths without bias. He was fairly familiar with this technique, having listened to it more often than he could remember. But he wasn't quite sure how he felt seeing others on the receiving end of it from him. It surprised him when he finally realized he was jealous. He had never wanted to share Vincent. His training was something that had been uniquely his, when he had so little of his own in his childhood. Stop it. Cloud forced himself to take a deep breath and look carefully at his emotions. Between his time in Hojo's hands and his work with Iris to entrap Genova's puppet, he had become quite familiar with the practice of self-reflection. What was really bothering him so much about this scene? Yes, others were receiving Vincent's full attention in training, but it was hardly as individualized as his own instruction had been. Vincent was his mentor, his friend, and in some ways a member of his family, like his father. They would never have that. Turk regulations and culture discouraged that sort of bond. He realized with surprise that he was jealous of Vincent. Vincent had found his own niche with Shinra, carving out a new place for his life to begin again, perhaps for the first time since Hojo had captured him. Cloud, on the contrary, even after returning to Soldier, still felt out of place. While Reno's pictures with the chocobos had helped, many other soldiers continued to tiptoe around him. Returning from the dead, fighting Sephiroth to a standstill more than once, escaping the president's wrath after running off. Never mind he hadn't been on the payroll at the time. It seemed too good to be true. They had no idea the price he had paid for any of it. Not that he'd ever want to tell them. The memories weren't something he cared to revisit, and besides, it wasn't any of their business, but... It left Cloud feeling terribly lonely and unsettled. For a moment, he was jealous of Zack and Sephiroth, who fit together so well in every way that they would never really be alone. Perfect partners. Stop that. With the discipline gained from fighting Genova's call, Cloud firmly throttled his emotions. The only thing to do was to find his own place. He knew Zack and Sephiroth were still working on something, but if nothing came of it by the end of the week, he'd make his own way. In the meantime, he was going to be happy that Vincent had found a place of his own, damn it. What did Cloud expect? That he'd go back to living alone in a shack in the mountains? Really? He was being ridiculous. Good to see you haven't completely regressed to adolescence. Chaos's mental voice held a distinct sense of scorn. I deal with enough brooding from this one. I don't need it from you, too. I bet that's a side effect for anyone who spent time in Hojo's hospitality. Sephiroth had a tendency to brood, too. Humph. Vincent dismissed the trainees, instructing them to heal injured comrades before returning to Cloud's side. He raised an eyebrow at Cloud's fond smile. You're a good teacher. Perhaps, Vincent shrugged. It's not something I think I would have sought out. Cloud's smile grew a little bigger. Maybe he had done Vincent a favor then, by waking him up years ago. Absolutely. As long as I've been stuck here, he's rarely moved unless under pressure, or within familiar circumstances. Chaos's voice was annoyed. We might have moulded away to nothing in that basement, even if there were no locks or seal on the coffin. Interesting. That answered a question for Cloud. why Vincent hadn't left Nibelheim when he'd first gone to Midgar. It didn't seem like a good trait for a Turk, who had to be flexible by nature. But on the other hand, it would mean he'd be easier for the company to use and control. Not while I'm around, though. Well, your students reflect well on you. Tifa had grown in leaps and bounds while Cloud was away, and he recognized enough of her improvements to realize a lot of it was due to Vincent's influence. Vincent smiled at him. Yes, they do. Cloud flushed with pleasure, realizing that he was included in that statement. Have they found you an assignment yet? No, Cloud sighed. I think they're trying to find something to keep me occupied that won't bore me, or something. He grinned as an idea occurred to him. He might as well keep himself busy, and maybe it could be more of a permanent thing if he ended up doing regular patrols, if only to stretch himself. But if they don't come up with anything, want to run a session with a soldier, the experience might be useful to them at some point. A good idea. Some of this group are becoming too confident in their own abilities, Vincent nodded to himself. What did you have in mind? Cloud's grin widened. Oh, just a dose of reality. Sephiroth watched Zack with concern. He had dark circles under his eyes and was nodding over his paperwork despite the fact that it was only 10. How late did your meeting run? 2 a.m., Zack yawned. You'd think it wouldn't be so hard to find compatible soldiers. I should be good at this by now. Sephiroth shook his head. Most of the easier pairs were already established, so now you're left with more complicated personalities. He didn't doubt that Zack would successfully create another set of soldier pairs before the end of the week, though. The man had managed to accommodate his own demanding personality, after all. You need to get more sleep. It's only the extra duty hours, Sephiroth silently disagreed. Zack worked far longer than he was required to, in order to manage both the cooperative program and all his work as Sephiroth's aide. You need to change something, or you're likely to end up on another enforced vacation. I've noticed a few specialists watching you closely. If needed to, he'd submit Zack for medical leave himself. I'll think about it. Zack shuffled through the papers on his desk. Huh, official petition from Tseng to borrow Cloud for a bit. I thought we'd be getting a request to send him off somewhere after yesterday. Sephiroth's lips twitched in amusement. Cloud wasn't one to loiter, even if he didn't have a formal assignment. The Turk trainees had looked more than a bit downtrodden when they had returned to the tower after Cloud's little exercise. He probably feels Cloud made an accurate assessment of the situation. Turks don't have much experience combating the Enhanced, and that could be a problem for them at some point. I don't know if I like the idea of him spending so much time with them, though, Zack frowned. They did try to make off with him once. This was very true. Sephiroth was also worried that Cloud might eventually transfer into the Turks, if only to find some place to fit in. He had noticed the looks their fellow soldiers directed at Cloud, having endured the same for most of his life, and knew how discomforting such a situation could be. The Turks, however, being a rather motley outfit, were more accepting of irregularities about their members. Now that Valentine had rejoined their ranks, they would be adapting to the concept of an enhanced Turk. Cloud joining them as well would only benefit them in that regard. At the same time, though, Sephiroth didn't want to lose Cloud, who over the years had become a fine soldier and a good friend. The question was what to do with him that would actually allow him to perform at the level he was capable of. Have you thought any more about Cloud's assignment? I don't want to leave him in limbo for much longer. I've had a few ideas. Let me think about it some more, and I'll talk to you about it over lunch. That was the last thing Zack said as he continued to work, sorting papers and typing with one hand as he ate his breakfast at the same time. Sephiroth tried to push through his own paperwork a little more quickly than usual. There were things on Zack's desk he could certainly handle, if he finished early. Cloud's situation aside, he was also worried about Zack. If only there was a solution to both problems. Well, he could think of one, but he wouldn't suggest it. He didn't want to insinuate anything negative about Zack's performance. When the lunch hour rolled around, Sephiroth put down his pen and stretched. He decided they might as well take their time for lunch, since they had an extra 2 hours to work past 5 as part of their punishment for destroying Genova. And it forced Zack to take a breather. Rising, he went to collect his aid. Zack had his feet up on the desk, and was leafing through some papers in his hand, looking very pleased with himself. He passed them to Sephiroth. "I have a proposal for you." Sephiroth accepted them, skimming them first before reading them carefully. "This should work out quite nicely." Zack gave him a shrewd look. "You thought up the same thing, didn't you?" "Yes," Sephiroth admitted. "But I didn't want to offend you by suggesting it." Zack sighed, running his fingers through his hair. "If it were anyone but Cloud, well, I know he'll do a good job." Sephiroth nodded. He trusted Cloud as much as he did Zack, more with some things. Cloud's mindset was closer to his own sometimes, which made him easier to understand. "Also," Zack fidgeted, "I was thinking about that other thing you brought up the other day." Sephiroth just looked at him, his face carefully expressionless. Finding a place for Cloud as far as work went had been only one of the two things that had been on his mind most often lately. The truth was, he still found himself attracted to Cloud, and from the way Zack looked at him sometimes, he knew he wasn't the only one. It had been a long time since Zack had first suggested they bring Cloud into their relationship, at least on a temporary basis, and he had changed his mind about it during the time Cloud had been in Hojo's hands. But Sephiroth wasn't sure it wouldn't be worth pursuing. He could recall, vividly, the kiss they'd shared that one night, Genova's influence aside. It had certainly been quite appealing. Even now, Sephiroth could feel the power that tied the three of them together, alike in a way that no one else would ever be, and with the destruction of Genova, could never be. That, in his opinion, was only another reason to strengthen their bond with Cloud. He well remembered the days before he'd grown close to Zack, and worried about Cloud being in the same boat. Being one of a kind was a wearying experience. Not that Sephiroth didn't understand that this would be a difficult proposition. The power dynamic alone would shift dramatically within their relationship. It was very possible it could all fall apart. However, the prospect of failure had never stopped Sephiroth from pursuing a goal. On the contrary, many of his greatest successes in Wutai had come from the simple fact that he would push himself to the brink against all odds. He had weighed the risks and potential rewards, and was willing to take this chance. Besides, the change could be quite a positive one, like the significant deepening of Sephiroth's relationship with Zack over the years, from superior subordinate to friendship to something more physical. And it had been Cloud who'd helped them grow even closer. Between his subconscious proddings and all his journals had taught Sephiroth about himself and Zack from another's point of view. Using those observations, Sephiroth had slowly, with a lot of hesitation, worked to become a better partner for Zack. To be perfectly honest, he hadn't noticed just how much things had changed until Genova's interfering had restricted the time they spent together. Zack's absence, and Cloud's as well to a lesser degree, had felt like a physical ache. Even when they were at work, they had tried to minimize contact, for fear that outside influence might be amplified through it. It had made Sephiroth acutely aware of many things, but especially how empty his life had been before Zack. He wouldn't wish that on anyone. "Honestly," Zack finally said, "I can't believe you were the one who reminded me about this. Seems like it should be the other way around." Sephiroth smiled. "Perhaps it's your bad influence on me." Zack smiled a little and ran a hand through his hair. "Anyway, I was thinking, maybe we should give it a try after all. I mean, it's not like the world will come to an end if it doesn't work out, yeah? We'll work through it, and we can stay friends if it falls apart. It should at least be fun, right?" He grinned. "Though if it all goes to hell, I'm telling Cloud it was your idea." Cloud hurried into Havoc's Haven, silently cursing the trains. He had been out hunting monsters when he had gotten Zack's offer for dinner. Between rush hour delays and the quick shower he'd stopped to take, he hadn't wanted to show up stinking of blood and sweat and grime from traipsing around the slums. He was late. Zack just grinned when he spotted him, waving from his seat in a booth near the entrance. "Over here." Nodding at a waiter, Cloud slid into the seat next to him. "Were you waiting long?" "No. Zack thought you might be a bit late when you said you were out hunting." Sephiroth handed him a menu. Cloud laid it down at the end of the table without even bothering to open it. "I know what I'm getting." Zack groaned. "Cloud, they have things here besides stew, you know." "I like their stew. I'll try something new next time," Cloud countered. It had been years since he'd had that comforting dish the way he remembered it. "Would you believe they tried a variation with dragon meat when I was home last?" He made a face. "Not the best decision." "The meat courtesy of you, I'm guessing," Zack asked, and when Cloud nodded, he sighed. "Figures. You go home to rest, and you end up killing dragons." He shook his head in mock disapproval, and after the waiter had taken their order, smiled. "Still, you know, running into you was one of my best ideas." "If by running into you mean collapsing on," Cloud trailed off, thinking about their first meeting. He hardly had perfect memory, but he knew Zack pretty well by now, and he wasn't the type to get that hammered. On the rare occasions he did it, he was safely home, which meant... "You weren't drunk, were you?" "Didn't pick that up when you were in my head, huh?" Zack looked smug. "Yeah. Figured your guard would be down more if I did that. I wanted to see what you're made of. Besides, you know what it takes to get a soldier wasted." Cloud made a face. He did, indeed. "Your superior still has some tricks up his sleeve, Cloudy." Cloud glared. "What did you just call me?" "Retribution for calling me Zachary all the time. Cloudy. Sephi." Sephiroth stiffened next to him. Zack's grin was sharp. "I think it's a beautiful thing." "Those aren't our birth names, unlike yours," Sephiroth pointed out flatly. "Pfft." Zack waved his hand. "If you don't like it, why don't you do something about it? We're off on Saturday. We can meet up Friday after hours for some sparring, since you two decided to leave me out last time. Then do pizza and a movie. Maybe you and me can team up against Seth over the tactical board, Cloud, and he can annihilate us there, so he feels better about losing to a dynamic duo at the gym. Like old times. Minus the alien bitch hijacking our brains." "I wouldn't keep talking like that, Zack. Or you might end up on the couch tonight," Cloud joked. "I'm pretty sure Seth could annihilate us on both fields anyway." He tried not to think too hard about the last time they had done pizza and a movie. It had been a pleasant evening, beyond the Genova stuff, and even her influence hadn't completely ruined the experience. Biting his lip, he tried to quash his memories of the feel of Sephiroth's kiss and Zack's hands. "Not if what I've heard about your sessions with him's any indication," Zack countered. "And even if he did, I'm still a better loser than he is." Sephiroth snorted. In any case, I can pretty much guarantee things will end better than they did last time, Zack smiled a little. It's not like we'd kick you out again. If you're really tired after everything, you can definitely crash for the night. I'm pretty sure we can make sure that your bosses won't run a surprise inspection. Not that we pull that crap with Soldier anyway. Cloud froze. He couldn't possibly be insinuating. Even though he had admitted to himself that he was attracted to both of them. Facing down uncomfortable truths about himself was one of the more painless pastimes he'd engaged in while imprisoned by Hojo. Cloud hadn't thought anything would ever come of it. He distinctly remembered Zack and Sephiroth having a conversation that a mutual relationship was no longer something they were interested in. Unless they had gotten over that hole in their heads thing. Cloud swallowed, catching a look in Zack's eyes that seemed promising. His cheeks went a little pink in spite of himself, and he looked away, clearing his throat as he said, "You realize that isn't going to help the rumors at all. Just last week I was told we should establish some sort of Elite Zero class." "With leather uniforms," Zack grinned. "Yeah, I heard that one too. Love it. Well, not for me, maybe. But you definitely look good in leather." He leaned back in his chair, balancing on two of the legs. As far as rumors go, people will talk regardless of the amount of falsehood or truth in their statements. Sephiroth gave a deliberate shrug. One shouldn't allow idle chatter to deter oneself from fully exploring available options. Cloud snapped his mouth shut before his jaw dropped. Even Sephiroth was open to the possibility. The Soulfire must have killed him after all. This was just unreal. He looked down at the table, unable to meet Zack's knowing glance. Thankfully, their waiter reappeared with a bottle of wine, allowing him a moment to gather himself. What's the occasion, anyway? He really hoped it wasn't that conversation they'd just had. Whining and dining one's way into bed with someone didn't seem like something either of them would do. "We're here to celebrate your new job," Zack gestured wildly as Sephiroth poured the wine, his chair slamming down on all four legs again as he leaned forward. Cloud frowned. "Wait, what?" "I've decided to resign my position as Seph's aide. I really need to work full-time on the partnership program." "The specialists have been watching him very closely lately," Sephiroth interjected. Zack gave him a sour look. "No thanks to you. Anyway, there's only one person suitable to replace someone as awesome as me. So, congratulations, Cloud. You're officially the new aide to General Sephiroth, soldier extraordinaire. Carry out your duties with extreme cheer and insufferable optimism." Sephiroth rolled his eyes. Finally finding his voice after sitting there stunned for a moment, Cloud protested. "But I don't have the seniority for it." "Pah, seniority is for regs. There's nobody else who could keep up with Seph and not drive him crazy. You're the only one I trust for the job." Zack jovially slapped Cloud's arm. "So stop acting like you don't want it. It's done. You start tomorrow. You did over half the work for it during the exams anyway." "Yes, sir," Cloud mockingly saluted. But really, he felt honored beyond belief. Zack took his obligation to Sephiroth very seriously, and it showed a lot of trust to hand his position over to Cloud. It reminded him how close they really were. Zack gave an evil grin. "And now you can have the joy of all that paperwork. I'm taking the office right next door. So I'll get to hear all of your cries of torture. I will, of course, happily come to your rescue. If you make it worth my while." Sephiroth hummed thoughtfully. "Aide, remind me to double the amount of paperwork required for the partnership program." "Hey!" Zack scowled. "Yes, sir," Cloud responded gravely. "Permission to smash insufferable lieutenant generals into the wall tomorrow during Omnislash practice." "Granted." Zack pouted. "Maybe I shouldn't leave you two alone. This might be a very bad idea. Too late. You already gave it up, Cloud grinned. Just think. Us right next door to you scheming while you labor under all that extra paperwork. It's a nightmare. True. Maybe I better get an aide myself. Zack looked thoughtful. Any ideas? They threw names around for a bit, until a waiter appeared with their meal. Sephiroth topped off their glasses and raised his in a toast. To partnership. To the best of friends, Zack raised his own. Cloud mimicked the motion, his mind full of possibilities. A warm smile crossed his face as he touched his glass to those of his friends. To the limitless future.